Praise the Lord. You know, somebody said, well, you're sitting down to teach. I know I'm biblical because Jesus said, it says in the Bible, Jesus sat down and taught the people. I'm still believing God and doing what is necessary and natural. The situation with my back, but it's changing. Amen. Amen. I forgot to mention a while ago, we have a special guest with us, Pastor Craig Teddy and his wife Dorothy. They pastor over in Mustang, and they're visiting with us tonight. There they are right there. Wave at everybody. There you are. He is the our minister, Rhema Ministerial Fellowship, RMAI. He is the regional director for the state of Oklahoma. And so we're just glad to have them with us tonight. Praise the Lord. They are wonderful, wonderful people. Let me ask you a question. Do you think and believe that God is able and wants to meet your needs? If you said yes, that's really good. That's good. Question number two. Do you think and believe that God is able and wants to give you what you ask for? If you said yes, that's even better. Question three. Do you think and believe that God is able and wants to do much more than we can ask or think? Yes. That's the best level of your thinking and believing. Now, I ask those questions because those three questions really put you in a position to receive from God. See, there are some people that take up residence at 101 Barely Get Along Street, and and their way of thinking and concerning God is, well, He's able, I guess, and wants to meet my needs, but I don't know about it. And then, the second, is then some people, their thoughts are too small about what God can do and wants to do in their lives, and that short circuits the blessing. E. Stanley Jones said this, "The chief way that you and I are disloyal to Christ is when we make small what He intends to make large." You know, our thinking and believing is like a thermostat. Now, we use the thermostat. There's one back there on the wall. To set heat or cool in this auditorium. And it depends on what you set the thermostat at, what your furnace does, and what your AC unit does. It depends on the thermostat, not on the unit, on the thermostat. Because the unit is there all the time to supply heat or cold. But they can't supply heat or cold without that thermostat. That thermostat tells them what to do. You see, and here, just like a thermostat sets the level in this room, our thinking and our believing sets the level in which God will move in our lives. Now, a thermostat can be adjusted up or down. So can our thinking and believing be adjusted. We need to adjust our thermostat to a higher level. We need to know what God's word has to say, so that we can receive all that God has for us. See, there's some people that, they need to adjust their financial thermostat according to the word of God. Some people need it on healing. Some people on believing for employment. Now, when Dad first went out on the road in January of 1949, I was middle of my third grade year in school. Now, he had his thermostat set really high for healing because he walked off a bed of affliction. Most of you have read his story or heard his story that he walked off the bed of affliction using Mark 11:23. But you know what? we were struggling financially. Our family was, everybody. And it wasn't until he learned to set the thermostat for finances with the Word of God like he did for his healing. You see, we've got to believe that God wants to bless us. See, you got to believe God wants to bless you naturally as well as spiritually. Yeah, I'm always talking about people. Hey, God wants us to be blessed both in the natural and the spiritual. He wants us to enjoy life both on both sides. Natural life. And some say, well, no, are you talking about that blessing business? Hey, go study Abraham. God made Abraham one of the richest men in the East. And it says in Galatians 3, chapter 3 of Galatians 3, 7 and 29, it talks about that we are the children of Abraham. Amen. Then the blessing of Abraham comes on us. Yes. How are we the children of Abraham? Through his spiritual descendants of Abraham. We're the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We're not the natural descendants. That's the Jewish people are. But see, if we want to receive, we've got to believe that he is a God of much more. Yes. Now, King Amaziah had to change his thinking. Go in 2 Chronicles 25, 5 through 9. I'm reading out of the New Living tonight. Then Amaziah organized the army, assigning generals and captains for all Judah and Benjamin. He took a census and found that he had an army of 300,000 select troops, 20 years old and older, all trained to use the spear and the shield. Now he also paid about 7,500 pounds of silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighting men from Israel. Now I want you to notice he said here, Judah and Benjamin, and now he said Israel, because at that time is when they were split into, you got the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, and they talk about, if you get off into theology and get there, they talk about the 10 lost tribes and so forth and so on, but they split up. And then it says the man of God or the prophet came to the king, and he said, Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel, for the Lord is not with Israel. He will not help these people of Ephraim. You remember you read over there, it says, Leave Ephraim alone, and he's turned from God. Leave him alone. So if you let them go with your troops into battle, you will be defeated by the enemy no matter how well you fight. God will overthrow you, for he has power to help you and to trip you up. Now, Amaziah here asked the prophet, the man of God, but what about all that silver I paid to hire this army of Israel? Now, here's what the prophet said. This is what I want us to get to. The man of God, or the prophet, replied, The Lord is able to give you much more.
Come on.
Much more than this. I like the sound of that. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Here he is concerned about his 7,500 pounds of silver that he had paid out. And now the prophet came and told him, don't use those troops because God will not be with you if you do. And so now when the king was so concerned about this money, that's when the prophet told him the Lord is able to give you much more. Now, the easy to read version of that says the Lord has plenty. He can give you much more than that. The Voice version says, don't worry about the money. It's nothing to compare. I like this. Compared to what the eternal or to what God has to give you. You know, he was concerned over wasting 7,500 pounds of silver. Well, I imagine we would be too if we had it. But in essence, the prophet told the king, don't worry about that because God can give you much more. You know, now in the natural, mankind has yet, I think, to discover all of the resources of the earth that God has there for us, for his natural man. But I want you to know, but we can discover all of the resources that God has for us because he has much more than you have got right now. Everybody, y'all still here? Y'all gone home already? Let's look at several scriptures. I want to read several scriptures about the God of much more. And we got to get over and realize we have got to think differently than we do. We've got to think how God thinks. Isaiah said God thinks on a higher than man does. Look at this. Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So now we see that God thinks on differently than we do. So God thinks, how does he think? He thinks according to his resources. We think according to our resources. He thinks in line and capable of what he is able to do. We think in line in what we are able to do. And, you know, I mean, when you begin to look at it, you make decisions to buy something based on your resources. Yes. Well, God does the same thing. He makes decisions based on what he has. And that's why he's told you what he's told you in his word, because he made a decision to tell you all those things based on what he has. See, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Paul says you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You see, he thinks differently. He makes decisions based on what he has. Now, when he finds a person that will think and believe like he does, he'll bring blessings of greater value and greater, yeah. Greater. Yeah. Now, let's look at these verses, and I think it might help us to see something here. Matthew 6:30. We all know what 6:33 says, but if you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And up in 30 and up above that, it tells you what the things are. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, in other words, it's here today, tomorrow it's thrown in the oven or the heat will come in and burn it up, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? I'm reading out of the New Living Translation on these. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by life. Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God that gives the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. Then 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, now that's spiritual death. And I've told you before, and you need to realize that when it's talking about death, you got to see if it's talking about real death, natural death, or it's talking about spiritual death. It's talking about, because see, the Bible says you were dead in your trespass and life, but you was alive and breathing. You were dead spiritually. That's what it's talking about. Okay, so that's what it's talking about. For if one by one man's offense, then death reigned through the one, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:8. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new. So if the old way, which has been replaced with, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Now look at Hebrews 9:13. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Every one of these scriptures had two little words there, much more, much more, much more. See, God just doesn't, not telling us that it's a little better. He is saying it is much better, much more than you've ever dreamed of. Now, we shouldn't get all uptight and be afraid because the devil brings all kinds of situations and circumstances and things into our life, because God tells us that he is much more.
That's right.
He has much more power, much more ability, much more grace. God is able to do much more for you than he has ever done before.
Amen.
And I like to say it like this: if he did it once, he'll do it again.
Amen.
See, we need to begin to declare some things. Matthew 21:21. Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can do things like this much more than you can even say to this mountain, be lifted in, up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. God is a much more God. Tell your neighbor, God is a much more God. And he lives in us.
Amen.
He empowers us to do much more than we can in the natural.
Yes.
In the natural, we may not be able to do anything about a situation. But hey, don't lose hope. If you exercise your faith in God, we can walk in the much more.
Amen.
We can accomplish much more.
Yes.
See, with our faith, we tap into the much more.
Yes.
More healing, more power, more provision, more strength, more glory. Many people live far below the much more blessing. Somebody said, well, where do you learn all this? I grew up with it. A man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. I lived in his house. I grew up in his house. I watched him as he learned how to walk with the God of much more. He believed in the God of much more. Actually, we need to realize that we can't appropriate all of the abundance of God for us until we know what the Word of God says. When we know what the Word of God says, we realize he is a God of much more, and we know how to make it come to pass and make it become a reality in our lives. So, what do we need to do so we can get involved with the much more God? First of all, you got to find out what God actually had said in the Word that belongs to us as his children. And it's really not a mystery. He wrote it right here in his book.
Amen.
We call it the Bible. He wrote it right here. Somebody said, well, but now let me tell you what I think about it. I don't care what you think about it. Somebody once said, well, let me tell you what I believe God's saying. And I say it all the time. Since when does he need us to explain what he was saying? I believe he said what he meant what he said, and that's it. I say it all the time. You guys, I say it all the time. Just about every sermon. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. There's nothing else. See, how do we find out what God wants us to have? How do we find out about this much more God? By feeding on the Word. Yeah. Feeding on the Word of God. You know, if your current level of living is below the blessings and they're not enough, then increase your feeding time in the Word. Amen. See, if you want to get strong muscles, you increase your workout. Yeah. You see, I used to could lift quite a bit of weight. I can't now because I haven't worked out and I don't know when. But when you're younger, that's more important to you are than when you get a little older. But you take care of the physical body by feeding it what it needs. And sometimes some people feed it what it doesn't need, and there's negative circumstances, like me. My ministry is expanding, but in the wrong place. See, if your current level is not enough to meet your needs, then you need to spend time with God in the Word and set your thermostat so the much more God can go to work. You see, if it's cold in here, we can't get any heat, even though there's those deals setting up there, those heaters and whatever you call them, furnaces or whatever, that blow in the blowers to blow, but they don't. Nothing happens until we set that thermostat on the wall back there. God is there with all of his resources. But nothing happens for you until you get in the Word and set your thermostat to get those working for you. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Amen. Now, you can know what the Word says, but you've got to believe it. See, you got to believe what the Word says instead of the circumstances. In fact, I don't know if any of you watched the service live from Tulsa this morning or not. I preached on whose report are you going to believe. You're either going to believe the report of your circumstances, your problems, or you're going to believe the report of God, the God of much more.
That's right.
See, you've got, it's not just a mental attitude. It's just not mentally agreeing with the Word of God. It's believing the Word inside of you whenever it says it can happen. You believe what the Word says no matter what. Amen. Luke 18:27, when it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. All right. You know, Abraham believed God against all natural odds.
That's right.
He was fully persuaded in his heart, and he set his thermostat to receive what God said belongs to it. We have to set our thermostat to receive what God said is ours.
Yes.
You know, some people always say, well, you know, God promised to heal us. No, he didn't. He never promised to heal us.
That's right.
Mm-mm. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were.
Come on.
If you were, you is.
Yes. Right.
I know that's not good English, but it gets the point across. See, he didn't promise healing. He said, you are healed.
That's right.
Now that means that the power's there, just like the heat is up there or back there in the furnace.
Oh, that's good.
But nothing happens till I set that thermostat.
Amen.
Do you know what? When we set that thermostat, because I know that the heater's back there, the furnace, whatever, I know it's back there. So when I set that thermostat, I believe that it's going to get warm.
Yes.
Right? See, there's many of you probably go home tonight because it's getting cool out there, and you've had your house set down on on air conditioning, and it's starting to get cool in there. So you have to change it from air to heat, yeah, and you have to reset that thermostat, right? See, we need to realize that we have to set our thermostat according to what we believe, according to what we read in the Word of God, and then believe it.
Yes.
And expect it to happen.
Yes.
Expect it to happen. Now, the third thing you need to do in order for the much, much more God to work in your lives, you need to say it.
Yes.
Say it.
Amen.
You know, Mark 11:23 says, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, thou cast the seed, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things he says, he shall have whatever he says.
Right.
So we need to release the much more God by saying it.
Yes.
And I got a sermon I preached sometime. Well, I hadn't preached it in a long time. I preached it a few years ago over at the main campus. Say it till you see it. Say it till you see it. You see, we need to realize that what we get from the much more God depends on what comes out of our mouth.
Yes.
You see, okay, an unexpected bill comes in. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh. That's what a lot of people do. But that's not going to get the much more God working.
No.
Out of your mouth has to come, my God shall supply all my needs.
Right. Come on.
I walk by faith, not by what I see.
That's right.
I walk by what God says. God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Come on.
Yes.
See, many times when things happen, circumstances or a situation happens, people begin to speak the wrong thing. But you can't speak what the Word says if you haven't, like I said in the first part, gone back in there and got in the Word and find out what He says. You know. Now, I can call over to Anthony in his music office over there or wherever he is. And I can tell him, okay, this is what I want. That's what I want done. Okay, he goes and tells the music team. He says, okay, this is what Pastor says. Okay? So he's saying what I said. Why is he doing that? Because that's what I want. God wants you to be blessed, so he has said it here, so you need to say it. You need to say it. You know, we use this every day in our lives. We say things. And when we say them, we expect them to happen. So when we start saying what God said, the much more God, I'm talking about the God of much more. When we start saying that, then we should expect it to happen. I did a whole series on expect. They put it in a book. It's out there. Probably it's out there in the bookstore called Expect. A lot of people don't get anything because they don't really expect anything.
That's right.
You got to expect something.
Yes.
You know, we got those five grandsons. They're 25 to 15. And three of them work there at the ministry. Well, one of them's in in the Bible school, and then he's also works there, three of them. But they'll call up my office, Poppy, you going to lunch? Yeah. Now, they expect me to pay for lunch. That's why they call me. I got any other grandparents in here? I know when they say, "You, hey, where are you going to lunch?" I know that they want me to tell them to come on, go with me to lunch, because they know I'm going to pay for it. We got to be that way with God. Yes. He is our Heavenly Father.
Right.
And when we say what he has said, then we expect something to happen.
Yes.
Okay? It's only when you speak the much more out of your mouth that you release the faith to activate the power of God. Only then will you experience the much more.
That's right.
Once you know the scriptures,
right,
how much more blessing will you get?
Amen.
How much more? You got to speak them out of your mouth. See, we've got to be able to say, we got to say, God provides much more than he did for the people in the Bible. God provides much more than he did for his children yesterday. God gives gifts much more than anyone else. God's grace through Christ is much more. Through God's grace, I reign much more in life. See, we got to say it. God's glory is much more on me now than it was on those in the old covenant. And we read the scripture. Apostle Paul said it there in the scriptures, how glorious it was. But how much more glorious is it today? So, say it with me. God is a much more God. Did you say that because I said, asked you to say it? Or did you say it because you really believe it? See, so many times we will say something because somebody told us to. Or we sometimes just stand and sing the songs. Anthony's leading or somebody else, and we'll sing the songs. But are we really believing those songs, or are we just saying them? See, there's a difference between saying it and believing it.
Yes.
You can say a lot of things that you don't believe. People do it all the time.
Yes.
Okay. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bow your head with me for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus you don't ever know. Or somebody rededicate their life to God. So, is anybody here tonight need to receive Jesus or need to rededicate yourself to God? You know, right here, we had a man, he's gone on to be with glory now, but he came one, and everybody here thought he was a Christian. And he came down. And the reason he did, he said, I cannot remember when I didn't go to church. I've always gone to church. I live a clean life. I live a life like the Word of God says. But I don't know that I've ever personally ask Christ into my heart. You know what? There are people like that. Even though they've been in church all their life, even though they live a nice life, you still have to ask Christ into your heart. That's what salvation's all about. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody need prayer for healing tonight? Praise God. Well, glory to God. My wife has something to say.
I was prompted for this during announcements, but this goes right along with what Pastor was talking about. You know, this is the time of the year that they say it's the flu season, right? Well, we don't have to have the flu.
Come on.
And And I always say that I take my flu inoculation. Well, I don't like needles, so I think the Word of God is a better flu inoculation for me. So I want to read the 91st Psalm to you, because I always claim this. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. But, you know, it's important that we know what God says.
Amen.
In order to say what God says, we got to know what He says. And this is just a wonderful inoculation, so I want to read it to you. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. There's your promise. And protect you from deadly disease. The flu can be a deadly disease, but praise the Lord, we don't have to have the flu. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes in midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Once again, no plague will come near your home. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And so, you know what? When those symptoms try to come upon me, I just say, no, devil, you cannot bring those symptoms on me. I'm covered by the 91st Psalm. No plague can come nigh me. And I refuse to accept those symptoms. I refuse to have the flu. And so it's important for you to do the same thing, speaking the word.
Yeah, you got to get it. The first time that I have a sniffle or something, I immediately say, in the name of Jesus, I speak against it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I see by the clock on the wall that it's 2 minutes or 3 minutes till I'm supposed to be done. So everybody stand. And hey, remember that out there in the bookstore, we're trying to get rid of the Oklahoma City shirts. There's three medium and one small. They're for $350. And there's 10 of the OKC, those mugs, you know, OKC, 10 mugs, $5. We need to get rid of those things. They've been on the shelf too long, okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Next Sunday night right here, 6 o'clock. Come believing, come expecting.
First-time guests.
All right, Jane, go find our first-time guests. Take them, receive a special.
Pray for me, sir, my church and my Sunday air program.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this man's church in India, and I pray for this year in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm.